Good evening. Welcome to worship on this eve of Pentecost 13. A few announcements that I want to highlight for you. First of all, the flowers that you see here, they are from the funeral yesterday of Laura Colden, and burial was today in northern Minnesota. And so we thank God for the gift of Laura Colden in the life of this congregation and for the deep faith that she had in Jesus that takes her all the way through eternity with her Lord and her Savior. So that's what the flowers are from. Also in our prayers, we'll be having the sympathies extended and asking for the consolation of God for the Brooklyn family. That funeral for Pastor Dan Brooklyn was this morning and visitation was last night. Also remember the family and friends of Kelly Stoyles. So it's been a busy few days in the life of Emmanuel in terms of our own members, but also in terms of the friendships that we share with others who are of the faith of Jesus as well. I want to thank Jeff Patsky. He's doing our sound tonight, and the reason that he's doing that is because some of you know Don Holton needed surgery in his shoulder, and it wasn't supposed to happen until like the first part of January, and all of a sudden there was a cancellation, and so he found out like maybe Wednesday afternoon or evening that he could go in on Friday morning. No pain, he said. He's at home. He's doing well, and he thanks you for your love and your concern, and so that's why we've got Jeff here. We've got also Karen Peterson's daughter, Julie, is here as a flutist for Holden Evening Prayer along with Margene. And then we've got Jenna and her daughter, Scarlett, are going to be leading us. And then we've got Nora that's going to be reading scriptures. So lots of different people participating in our service tonight. Let's see. Supermarket Saturday. That was today here at Oasis, and they have some food left over in the fellowship hall, some fruit, some milk, a variety of things. So if you are in need of something or would like to take something home, please remember that before you leave. Otherwise, next week, Holy Communion on August 28th, and we'll also have our backpack and lunchbox blessing. So if you're a part of the school system, you're going to preschool or kindergarten or maybe elementary or high school, if you're a teacher, come and have your backpack or your lunchbox blessed. And for the kids, we'll have a special gift as well. I believe those are the announcements that need to be highlighted. Please pay attention to the other ones that are present in your bulletin as well. Let's sing together our gathering song, O Jesus, Joy of Loving Hearts. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you bestow the riches of your grace upon your sons and daughters. Grant that we may faithfully serve you in this life and rejoice in your eternal glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I invite you to rise as you are able for our liturgy, which is Holden Evening Prayer, Revised Edition. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening.
And the day is almost over.
Let your light scatter the darkness.
And shine in your people.
Father, Son, Triune God, we praise your name. You are worthy of all glory. Thankful hearts proclaim your grace. Blessed Jesus, Lord and Savior, mark us with your cross again. Fill us with the Spirit's power. Resurrect us from the dead.
Joyous light of heavenly glory,
Lord of God's face,
you who sing the nation's story, shine on every light and grace.
Now as give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From old you have led your people by night and day. May the light of your Christ make our darkness bright. Are the light of our pathways, and you are the light and life of all creation. Congregation, may be seated for our psalmody, Psalm 141, women group 1 following Jenna and Scarlett, and men echoing with group 2. Let your loving kindness descend upon us, O Lord, and let the incense of our repentant prayer ascend before you, that with purified minds we may sing your praises with the church on earth and the whole heavenly host, and may glorify you forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We prepare our hearts for the hearing of God's word.
The first reading comes from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 through 33. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, so that she might be holy without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading will be from Mark chapter 7, verse 1 through 13. When the Pharisees gathered to Jesus with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and whoever reviles father and mother must surely die. But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is, given to God,' then you no longer permit to him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you've handed down. And many such things you do." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. We sing together, "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee," two verses.
Thank you.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submit yourselves to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submission and sacrificial love. You've probably heard this story about the captain of a big ship, and he was cruising along at night, and in the distance he saw a dim light. And so he got the signalman up there and said, "You need to send a signal. Whatever that light is out there, you need to tell them to alter their course 10 degrees south." And so the signalman did that, and then immediately there was a response. And the response was, "You need to alter your course 10 degrees north." Well, the captain was a little bit fit to be tied, not happy about that kind of response. So he said, "You send a second message." And this time, the message said, "You need to alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a captain." And immediately there was a response. And the response said, "You need to alter your course 10 degrees north. Seaman Third Class Jones." Whew. The captain said, "I've had enough of this. Send this message. You need to alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship." That ought to scare the bejeebies out of them, huh? And immediately the response came back, "No, you need to alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse." Submission and sacrificial love. St. Paul says, "Be subject to one another out of fear of Christ," or "be servants of one another," or "submit to one another out of reverence." Not trepidation, not angst, but reverence. Oh, that's a worship word. Because Jesus is Lord and we are not. Therefore, submission is a good word, a godly word. But in the wrong hands, it can be abusive and it can be destructive, especially in the hands of one who is not saved. You know that for the past few weeks, we've been walking our way through Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. And Paul divides that letter so neatly, so nicely. Chapters 1, 2, and 3, doctrine. What is it that those who walk with Jesus believe? And then chapters 4, 5, and 6, all about duty and discipleship. How is it that people walk when they believe this about Jesus Christ? Walk as beloved children of God. Walk in the love of Christ, who loved you and gave himself up for you as an atoning sacrifice for sin. Walking. That's part of the argument that's going on in our gospel reading for today also, you know. Because the elders and the religious leaders, they're fit to be tied because Jesus' disciples, well, they're not washing before they eat. You're not walking according to the tradition. Well, people walk in different ways, don't they? Some a straight path, some more of a zigzag. And so you will find that in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, how we walk makes a difference. In fact, we already got a clue to what Paul was going to say in chapters 4, 5, and 6 about walking in unity and walking in harmony and walking in purity and walking in victory already in chapter 2. Because St. Paul, chapter 2, verse 1 and following, he says, "You know how you used to walk? Stumbling around, walking in sin, walking in the footsteps, submitting to Satan, walking in the footsteps of the devil? That's what you used to do. And you were by nature children of wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love which he lavished upon you, made you alive together with Christ." For by grace you are saved. Not because of works so that you can pat yourself on the back and boast. No. It's a free gift, Paul says, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. A free gift. You see, Paul says, we've only got one thing to boast about. That is our sin. That's the only thing we can brag about that we've accumulated and done. But if we really want to boast, then our boast is about Jesus Christ. He is Lord. He is Savior. He saves us from our sin. It's called grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. And then Paul says, for we are God's workmanship. You, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. You see, it's far more important to walk in the footsteps of Jesus in the good works that God prepared before your moms and dads even met than it is to walk in the traditions of those religious leaders who had made, if you will, a god out of submitting to their traditions, to their rules, rather than the righteousness of Almighty God. Be submissive to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submission and sacrificial love. Good things in the hands of the saved. Dangerous in the hands of the unsaved. You can ask a lot of people, for example, would you like to have Ephesians 5 read at your wedding ceremony? And a lot of people, our epistle for tonight, would say, absolutely not. I don't believe in the husband calling the shots and ruling the roost and telling me what to do. I'm a liberated woman. How sad that people have misconfused and misunderstood what Paul is saying. That's not going to happen when you leave tonight. I promise you that. You see, if you check with most scholars, even if you look at the lectionaries in a lot of churches where pastors are preaching on this same lesson, or maybe probably avoiding it because they don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole, the debate is this. Ephesians 5:21, be submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Does 5:21 go with the verses before it or the verses after it? Yes. Yes. It definitely goes with the verses before it. You know from last week's sermon. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Huh. What will the result be? What will it look like when you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit? That's a passive verb. That's what God does to us, you know. He fills us. What will happen? What will it look like? In the Greek, there are five participles. That's why we know that submitting, a participle is an ing word. That's why we know that submitting has to go with what comes before it. Before verse 21 of chapter 5. For sure, it's one of five participles. And the first three participles are all the ing words about worshiping and singing, making melody. Praising God. That's how you know that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't get enough of church. You can't get enough of the Word of God. You just want to be in it 24/7. The fourth participle is, and giving thanks in all circumstances of each day. Not just once a year, Thanksgiving Day, you know, with turkey and stuff, but the great Thanksgiving when we put the Lord's Supper on the Lord's table, you know. And then the fifth participle, submitting. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ because Jesus is Lord. He's Lord. And he teaches us what it means to be Lord. He submits to the will of the Father. So that we, you and I, can be servants, can be subject, can be submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. You see, it has to go with the verses beforehand. You can't avoid the word submitting because it's all part of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Unless you or I decide to quench the Spirit or to grieve the Spirit in whom we were sealed for the day of redemption. So here's the interesting thing. Because when you get to our epistle reading for tonight, verses 22 and following, verse 22 doesn't have the verb submit in it. They had to borrow it from verse 21. Wives, submit to your husbands. He's the head. Just like Christ is the head of the church. Well, that can be a tough job description. Seriously, ask some of the women here gathered tonight or the ones listening online, huh? I mean, you could have that Greek wedding one, remember that movie? Where Tula, her mother says, yeah, but, you know, the man, the head of the house. And it's her mother who says, yeah, but the wife, she is the neck, and she makes that head turn any way she wants. Well, that's not what Paul is getting at. That's not what it means to be the head. It's not about being the boss. It's not about being in charge. It's not about calling the shots and controlling and dominating and manipulating. That's not submitting. Look to Jesus. If we look to Jesus, then we know what it means for the wife to submit to her husband. But you've got to look to Jesus. You've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. He's going to show wives what it means to submit. Now, I know that's a tough job description. But it was a few years ago, and I remember it was Janet saying to Rich, keep reading. You got that right. I don't know if you remember it. I remember that. Janet said, you keep reading. You think I got a tough job description? Keep reading. And husbands what? Love your wives as Christ loved his bride, the church, and went to the cross for her, and suffered all the humiliation and all the abuse you could even begin to imagine. Yeah, you gotta keep reading. You see, submit goes definitely with the verses before it and definitely with the verses after it, but we can't understand a word like submit unless we know Jesus. We gotta know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And then it's not about who's in charge and who's the boss and who's wearing the pants and who's calling the shots. Did you know that submit is a military word? Submit is a military word that Paul uses. And even though I haven't served in the military, my dad did, and I've got a lot of dear friends that have, or that are presently serving, and you know, people in the military, they understand rank. Right? You know what I'm talking about. There's rank. And you've got the officers above you. Right? I mean, it keeps going up, huh? And who's at the top? The commander-in-chief. Theoretically, right? Who is the president of the United States of America? To whom everyone is supposed to submit? Ah, but what does it mean to be a president or a governor or a mayor? It's not about being the big shot that calls the shots. It's about submitting. People that are in public office are public servants. That's the way it's supposed to be. I'm not saying that's the way it is. I'm saying that the way it's supposed to be is that the commander-in-chief is supposed to be the public servant of all. You want to talk about submitting? This is not about saying, I'm in charge, I decide, I control things, I got the power. No. This is about keeping your eyes on Jesus. He humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even death at a cross. You see, wives have a tough job description, but the husband has an even tougher one because the husband is supposed to love their wife exactly like Jesus loves his bride, the church, and died for her. Husbands, are you ready to die for your bride? Because if you are, I can promise you that your bride will have no trouble at all submitting to the head, because she will know that the head is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see? But in the hands of the unsaved, our epistle reading for tonight can be extremely misused, abused. Seriously. That is why Paul, and you probably caught this in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul quotes Genesis chapter 2. You know why? Because he wants us to know that when you're talking about what it means to be submitting, it goes back to the orders of creation. Therefore, a man leaves his father and mother. Wait a minute, that, what? No, he would build on an extension of the house. It was the wife who left her. What? Therefore, a man leaves his father and mother, cleaves to his wife, and they become one flesh, naked and not ashamed. Paul is quoting Genesis 2, where God created a human being and took the side, and then created Isha, a man and a woman, and brought the woman to the man, and they became one flesh. And the word in Hebrew is that God was looking for a helper fit for the man, for the human. The word means complementarity. One who is an equal partner. Not above and below, not dominant and submissive, right? You see? That's the way God created things. So there'd be no trouble in the wife submitting to her husband and the husband loving his wife the way Christ loves the church, his bride. But I don't need to tell you, and Paul doesn't need to tell you, what comes after Genesis 2. Genesis 3. The fall, where they eat the forbidden fruit and they die. The relationship is all skewed. And there are consequences. And you may recall that when God looks at Eve, he says, your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. See what I mean? Because of sin? Because of sin, the grace of God gets abused. And the unsaved will take a passage like Ephesians 5 and say, I don't want that at my wedding. Well, we're going to be equals. He's not going to tell me what to do. She's not going to tell me what to do. It's going to be tit for tat. If she gets this, then I get that. Really? You want that kind of a relationship instead of holy Christian marriage ordained by God from the very beginning? Oh, you're getting now what Paul is talking about, aren't you? You're seeing it. But you can only see it if you keep your eyes on Jesus. Because when Jesus heard his disciples, well, jousting, you know, James and John, they wanted the seats of honor and glory, the left and the right hand side. And the disciples got upset. Wait a minute. Who's the greatest? You remember what Jesus did, right? He did a children's sermon. He grabbed a little kid, probably about Hope's age, put the little kid, Hope, you know, up into his arms. Jesus just took the little girl, Hope, into his arms, and he said, "This is the kingdom of God. Unless you become as a child, you can't get in. Owned property. Filled with the Holy Spirit." You see? And then Jesus looked at his disciples and said, "You know, I'm hearing something here. This is so reminiscent of what I see every day. The Gentiles love to lord it over one another. That's not the way it's going to be with the kingdom of God. That's not going to be the way you're going to walk. Whoever would be first must be last. Whoever would be greatest must be servant of all, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." That's what Paul's getting at in Philippians 2 when he says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is already yours in Christ Jesus." What Paul is saying is, this is the way Jesus walks, and this is the way the body of Christ, the people of faith, walk. Though he was in the form of God, he didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He emptied himself. He humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even death on the cross, for the forgiveness of your sins. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow, every tongue would confess, Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, so that's what it means to submit. Be submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. The job description doesn't get into, well, yeah, but who cleans the toilets? And who does the mowing? Who changes the oil in the car? It's not about, oh, what is a man's work and what is a woman's work? That can be adjusted. Sometimes as we get older, we have to adjust those things. We can't do what we used to do. And you have to do what? Yield. Submit. And that's okay. That's okay. Because that's what holy Christian marriage is. And that's what it is in the body of Christ when Jesus is the husband and we are his bride. So you get kids in a crosswalk. And if you're driving a great big truck, there could be a collision. And so you say to yourself, well, I better yield. I know it's just a little peep-squeak, but I got this big truck. And if we collide, they could get hurt, or maybe even worse. And when that yellow light is flashing, and it says, don't walk, don't walk, don't walk, don't walk. What does the person in the crosswalk do? Well, I'm in a crosswalk. I can do what I please. No. They submit. And they wait. Until the sign says, walk. Walk. You see? I was reading a story this past week, and it was about a man who was driving on some country roads. He hadn't been on the roads before, and he came on the road to a one-lane bridge. And it had a yield sign. So he thought, oh, submit. So he looked, didn't see any cars coming the other direction. And carefully, cautiously made his way across that one-lane bridge. Took care of business, A couple of days later, he took that road. He was heading back home. He comes through that one-lane bridge. And what does he see? A sign that says, yield, which means submit. And he says to himself, wait a minute now. A couple of days ago, when I crossed this bridge, didn't the sign, wasn't it on the other side that it said yield? He looks carefully, cautiously, goes across that one-lane bridge. And he stops and looks back. And there's a yield sign there. There's one on each side. To avoid collision. You see? Be submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. When Joy was just a little girl, her daddy, whom she loved, died. And she got angry at God for taking her papa away. And then a few years later, her mama remarried. And the stepdad was a good stepdad, and he loved Joy, but Joy refused his love. And then when Joy got to be in the later years of high school, she came to saving faith in Jesus, and she got a tattoo, a small little tattoo. It said abide, A-B-I-D-E, abide, from John 15. Whoever abides in Jesus bears much fruit for the glory of the Father. So she started going on mission trips with her mother. And they went over to Cambodia, and they cared for children that had been rescued from the sex slave. And then it was in 2018, in June of 2018, that she went with her mother on a mission trip over to Syria. To Lebanon, where she could help teach English to Syrian refugees. She got home on June 12th, and she got married in Iowa, Mason City, Iowa, on June 28th, 2018, 3 years ago. Now, this was really interesting because her fiancé, Paul, he went to her mother and stepfather, and he submitted. He asked for her hand in marriage, and they said yes. And so when Paul proposed to Joy, they went on a walk together, and then they came to a bridge. Now, I can't say for sure, but maybe there was a yield sign at each end. And on the bridge, he got down on his knee, he submitted, and he asked her to marry him, and she said yes. And then he took her off of the bridge. They went down under the bridge where some friends had carefully made preparations, and there was a basin of water there, and there was a towel. And there was a stool. And Joy sat down. And Paul washed her feet. And when he was done drying her feet, he said, I will be your servant. And I will love you with the love of Jesus each day. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Jesus said to his disciples, you call me Lord, Master, Teacher. You're right, that's who I am. If I then have washed your feet, I've given you an example of what you should do for one another. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submission and sacrificial love, they're a good thing, my friends. Bank on it, because in Christ Jesus, it is your salvation. Walk. Walk in it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we are able, and our service continues on page 9 of the Holy Evening Prayer Liturgy. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Shall be Jesus, the
Congregation may be seated. I remind you that we're not passing the offering plates, but the basket is in the back, and there are other ways of giving to the work of the Lord. We do it of first importance. Each week, we provide to the Lord a portion of what he has already given us. So whoever it is, however it is that you are supporting his holy work, in the name of Jesus, I commend you and I give you thanks. We continue then with our litany and closing prayers. Justice might guide them.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all those who labor in service to others.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
Grant weather that nourishes all of creation. Keep watch on our loved ones and keep us from danger.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all the beloved who rest in your mercy.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
Help us, comfort us all of our days. Gracious Father, in the name of Jesus, your only begotten Son, the great physician, we pray for your gift of mercy and healing for Letha Bothan, for Don Holton, for Deb Spitzer, for Ariana Panadin, for Barb Stephenson, for Paige Johnson. We pray, Lord, for Karen Peterson, for Gary Engel, for all who seek your presence and healing, continue, O Lord, to be with your beloved servants. And we pray this day, Lord, that you would comfort the grieving members of the body of Christ. We pray for the family and friends of Dan Brooklyn, Kelly Jo Stoyles, and Laura Ella Colden. Grant them your peace, grant them your mercy. And Lord, I pray that you would give me a good blood test and a good CT scan on Tuesday. And I praise you for the chemo vocation you have given me. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please rise for the blessing. Let us bless the Lord.
May God the Father bless us and keep us. May Jesus be the light of our lives. May the Spirit of truth be our guide and path for all of our days.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We sing one verse of I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light.
Thank you.
Christ, the Lord.